to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. It's March 15th, 2008. It's about 9 minutes after 9 a.m. With me today is Senator, Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, and Senator Dyson. We've got four bills on the agenda today. We're going to lead off with Senate Bill 120, Unemployment Compensation Benefits. We're going to move on to Senate Bill 254, Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program. Senate Bill 209, Extended Alaska Commission on Aging. And then end with Senate Bill 243, Commission on Aging.
Chairman?
Yes, Senator Dyson.
Is it your intention to move any of these bills today?
Yes, we'll be active today, so, yes.
Maybe all of them?
Yes. Unless there's problems that crop up or something.
Yeah, no, and I've actually heard several of them in other committees, so that's fine.
We'll start with Senate Bill 120, Unemployment Compensation Benefits. We heard this bill and took public testimony at the first meeting. My intent today is to adopt the CS, ask the sponsor or the department any questions, and entertain a motion to move this bill. Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt version N?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt CS for Senate Bill 120 / N as our working document.
Okay, and I'll object for discussion, and if we could have Mr. Peterson from my staff come forward and walk us through the changes on the CS, please, Mr. Peterson, after you put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Darwin Peterson, staff to Senator Stedman. The CS that you have before you is version N. The committee made three main changes to this version. The first change is noted on section 9, which is on page 5, starting with line 7. And on this, in this section, we changed it to a two-year phase-in for the decreased contribution rate paid by the employers. So instead of going from 80% to 73% all at once in 1 year, we're going from 80% to 76% January 1st, 2009, and then 76% to 73% January 1st, 2010. Next change is on page 6, starting with line 13, that's section 10. Also, we did a two-year phase-in. This is the increased contribution rate paid by the employee. Instead of going from 20% to 27% all at once, we're phasing it in over 2 years. So January 1st, 2009, we go from 20% to 24%, and then January 1st, 2010, jumps up to 27%. The third change, Mr. Chairman, is we deleted sections 13, 14, and 15 of the previous version of the bill. Section 13 was a conforming amendment that's no longer needed with the deletion of Section 14. Section 14 is the meat of the change. That was the automatic annual recalculation of the benefit amount. That's been removed from this version of the bill. Section 15 was an oversight in the previous version. We found out that federal law prohibits the increase in the qualifying wage from $1,000 to $2,500 for election workers. They're exempt in federal law, and there's a one-page handout in your packet that looks like this. It's the Federal Unemployment Tax Act, and that has a star down at the bottom that shows where that federal law was found. So those are the three main changes, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Good, thank you. Does the committee have any questions on those changes? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection for adoption of version N. Is there any further objection for adoption of version N? Okay, seeing no objection, version N is adopted as our working document. We have the representative from the bill sponsor, please come forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dana Owen. I'm an aide to Senator Ellis.
And you want to okay. That was just a note from Senator Huggins. saying he's on his way. He's not wearing a tie. He's wearing extra tufts. Some shootings going on. We'll deal with Senator Huggins when he arrives.
Check him at the door for ammo.
Shake him down for ammo, yeah. So if you could kind of give us a brief rundown on the bill again for those that may be at home watching this for the first time, so they understand what we're doing, and then we'll take action.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The maximum weekly benefit amount under the UI system has not been increased since 1997. So for 11 years, we have been at $248. The intent of the bill is to raise that to $370. It would take the state of Alaska from last place among the states in the amount of weekly wages that we replace with the benefit, and assist, at least it's our intention to assist employers in maintaining a qualified workforce during periods of unemployment. It would benefit workers by allowing them to stay in the state rather than having to seek work elsewhere. That's the general outline of the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone has any more.
Do we have any other questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm not sure if you want to go to this next step, but I was wondering what the bill sponsor was, his opinion was on the changes that have been made under Section N, the committee substitute.
Mr. Chairman, we received a copy of the committee substitute late yesterday afternoon, and I was able to brief Senator Ellis on the changes, and he's fine with those. We believe this is an improvement in the bill.
One further question, Mr. Chairman. And have the people that are affected been voiced their opinion on the new changes that are out there, mainly from the employee side as well as the employer side?
Mr. Chairman, we have discussed, I think with the exception of the two-step phase-in, which has not been a part of discussions before, we've had quite a number of discussions about the possibility that the escalator clause may not stay in the bill. As Senator Ellis has testified before this committee, it's senators and members of the other body have frequently guarded their prerogative to not have automatic automatic adjustments to benefits amount in this and many other programs. And so we anticipated that. We have spoken with groups who are affected by this. However, I don't think any of them have had an opportunity to testify on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, the transferring of the burden is kind of the trade-off for the increase, obviously, in the rate. So I guess that's just the way things go. The escalator is never popular; has been taken out before, so I'm sure that's why people anticipated that would take place. I guess I just say that I'm glad to see that it does increase, because when you add it up and you look at some of the situations that exist, seasonal work in the state of Alaska certainly isn't a lot of money to be made from being on unemployment, that's for sure, especially in the day of escalating prices. So anyhow, although I would prefer to see an escalator in it and it continue in a little different fashion, it doesn't really bother me that much anyhow. So, I appreciate the sponsor bringing it forward anyhow. Thank you.
And we do have support, I think, on this bill. We've got letters from the state chamber. Support from most of the stakeholders. Do we have any other questions? May we have a motion, Senator Hoffman?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee move out CS for Senate Bill 120 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay. We have a motion to move the bill from committee with accompanying fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We have objection.
Mr. Chairman, I just wondered if there's anybody from the administration that would like to comment on it.
We could.
Doesn't look like
I'll,
it.
I'll object and to the motion, and just we'll ask: is there anybody from the administration who wants to put their 2 cents in?
Good morning,
For the record, my name is Paula Scavera. I'm Special Assistant to Commissioner Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We really don't need to put our two cents in.
Thank you. I'll remove my objection. Any further objection to moving the bill? This bill will move from committee. Let the read. We are going to go on to Bill 'Change the order a little bit here. We're going to take Senate Bill 254 and roll it to the bottom of the calendar. And we're going to bring up Senate Bill 209. Senator Davis has been patiently waiting. We're going to take care of her business first while we await for the arrival of another bill sponsor. So Senate Bill 209, extend Alaska Commission on Aging. And Senator Davis, would you like to introduce the bill?
I just want to thank you for hearing the bill today, and I'm going to let Obermeyer give my staff give the information on it. It's very simple. It's just an extension of the commission, and we have used the recommendation that was given in the audit.
Do we have any questions of the bill sponsor? Do we have anybody online or off net? Or I don't think there's Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. Senator Davis, what did the audit recommend?
The audit recommended that we extend it by 5 years, and they also asked that there be some changes, which is in another bill section that's supposed to come before us today. It was to change the duties that was listed in the statute. It said the commission, but now it's given to the department. Those were the changes that they recommended.
All right, and if I may,
go ahead, follow up.
Did you, in working on this, and did you come up with or look at any analysis of what the commission has accomplished?
They have completed their, is it a 5-year plan, 5 or 6 year plan, and I think we gave that to you in the package that we have. I don't know if you have it now. So they've done quite a bit, and then they had listed in there all the things that they had accomplished during the years that they've been in our commission.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is the 8-year extension, is that a normal extension time or four?
It's 5 years that they wanted to be extended, I think it was. This is the 13 in the middle.
Let's see in the back of the bill.
It's extended to 213. This is 08 right here.
No, it's 2016.
It's 2016. Was the recommendation.
Okay. Well, we'll go on. I've got a couple questions for the auditor. She could come forward, and Mr. Obermeyer can slide backwards a little bit. Or
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pat Davidson, representing the Division of Legislative Audit.
And if you could please just give us a little summary of the audit and the issues, concerns, and the potential response.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. To answer the earlier question, 8 years is now the standard time for extensions for boards and commissions that are formally under the sunset process. So the 8-year extension is the norm right now. As it relates to our review of the Commission on Aging, we do believe that the termination date of the commission should be extended. The commission meets the federal requirement to have an advisory council consisting of older individuals who participate or who are at least eligible to participate in the federally funded programs under the Older Americans Act, which is activities now under the Department of Health and Social Services. In 2003, the commission moved from the Department of Administration to the Department of Health and Social Services. At that time, one of the major changes is it went from being a granting agency and limited its focus to advocacy issues and planning issues. We saw that as a good move. The Department of Health and Social Services is very experienced as a granting agency, and as part of the audit, we did recommend that statutes be changed to recognize that that granting or the administration of the grants be moved to a department or a division within the Department of Health and Social Services. We've also found that staff turnover and vacancies hamper the accomplishment of some of the commission's activities, such as missing annual reports from 2003 and 2005. However, what we have seen in the past few years with the refocus just on advocacy issues and planning issues, that the board or the commission is being more effective with that more limited role.
Okay. We have any questions for Ms. Davidson? Thank you for coming in today on a Saturday. Although I know you work Saturdays sometimes. We have one fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services showing a cost to continue of $482,000 a year. And do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor on the Senator Dyson?
Yeah, just a comment. Notice here on the fiscal note, it says that Division of Legislative Audit determines the Aging Commission is, quote, helping older Alaskans lead dignified, independent, and productive lives. And that's kind of typical of our mission statements that either adopted by the legislature and under the missions and measures or the departments, but really doesn't have anything specific in it. And of course, we have very few tools to measure effectiveness, something you particularly have talked about, Mr. Chairman. And I wish in some way that we had, you know, a reporting structure that tells us, you know, here are the number of aging people who now are no longer dependent upon any kind of government programs, or have the success is more people who are living independently as opposed in homes and so on and so forth. And this group, respectfully, I've never heard them come to me and say, hey, we don't need this money or this program. It's always more, more, more. And maybe it's true that the population they're serving always needs more of everything, but that continual wanting government to do more, and nothing ever the other side kind of undermines credibility a little bit with me. And I once again emphasize that it's respectful, and maybe they're doing it perfectly and so on, but that kind of advocacy that says give me more money and we'll do more good without any objective goals and ways of measuring the effectiveness of that continues to bother me, and I think it has you. And that's just a general comment.
Okay, thank you. We have any other comments? Questions, Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that's probably so. Unfortunately, we are a population that seems to be living longer, so there's more of us around for a longer period of time. I guess that's part of the justification for that. I too, though, would like to see some of the things that they believe are actually happening as far as the betterment of the situation for the folks. I think that would be helpful for people to know. But we certainly are living a lot longer, and hopefully we're living in a better standard of living as we get older. Thank you, though.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly share the views of Senator Dyson that there needs to be some type of objective and goals that they're going after. But looking at the idea that they're always going after more money, I think has to do with the idea that there are more people in almost an exponential numbers that are growing to that population. And I guess to bring it more into perspective, that the way I look at it is that what we do now is going to influence those of us that are going to stay around. And there are people here at the table, you know, I think I might be the youngest one that's here, but eventually I'm going to get there, and what we're doing right now is going to affect programs that are going to be in place hopefully when I get to be the age of some of these senior citizens here, especially from Bethel.
Let the record reflect that Senator Olson just looks like the youngest one.
Yes, I was going to object that Senator Olson should not vote on this because of his age. I think he has a conflict of interest. I thought he was the oldest one.
Do we have a motion?
But I think it is serious. I think we need to take care of these people, because it's those people that replace us that are going to be looking at the programs we put in place when we get to be of that age. Hopefully we live long enough. It's a serious issue.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out Senate Bill 209 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Okay. We have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Do we have objection? Seeing no objections, we'll move the bill from committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, but slightly out of order, but in response to Senator Olson's comments. I look forward to the day when our seniors are so well equipped that they don't need any government assistance, and there are a whole lot less people needing dependent upon government's programs or largesse in the future. And I would like to see lots of the groups that we work on that provide human services working towards getting themselves out of a job and getting folks to not need any government assistance. But I was, along with Senator Olson, really want to see us do the very best by our growing number of seniors, which I am obviously one. Thank you.
Next bill, Senate Bill 243, Commission on Aging. The intent is to hear from the bill sponsor, take some public testimony, and move the bill from committee unless we find issue or we have questions or concerns. And bill sponsor, Senator Davis, is here, and our trustee aide is ready to go. And if you could identify yourself again for the record, just for the start of this bill.
I'm Tom Obermeyer, aide to Senator Davis, here on behalf of this committee substitute for Senate Bill 243. It's 25 LS 1351 /E. It's an act relating to the duties and powers of the Alaska Commission on Aging and the Department of Health and Social Services. This bill has zero fiscal impact. It brings into alignment grant duties and responsibilities that were previously given to the Department of Health and Social Services when the Commission on Aging and Division of Senior Services became part of this department. Any fiscal impact from these changes has already been realized and assimilated into the grants process. That is actually a statement right off the fiscal note, which I thought was so concise. You'll note in our sponsor statement that that the details in the bill essentially replace the word commission with department a number of times to properly recognize the duties and responsibilities of each. This bill assigns authority for establishing state policy related to Older Alaskans, Older Americans Act, federal programs and state programs for the Department of Health and Social Services. DHSS is recommended as the state unit on aging, and this bill also transfers a grant authority related to senior service grants, adult daycare, family respite care grants, and from Alaska Commission on Aging to DHSS. DHSS has assigned these grant administrative duties to senior and disability services. As a background to the importance and duties and responsibilities, the Alaska Commission on Aging is responsible for planning, advocacy, and community education activities related to the health and welfare of older Alaskans. It has relationships with state departments and agencies across the state, including the Governor's Office, Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, the Alaska Housing and Finance Corporation, and non-governmental organizations. The need for senior programs is rapidly increasing per the state plan for senior services fiscal years 2008 through 11. Alaska already has the highest proportion of baby boomers at 32% in the nation, and its senior population is growing faster than almost any other state. By 2030, seniors 60 plus will comprise 17% of the Alaska population, with a doubling of the number of those 65 and over. I'll note that in the attachment on the previous bill in 209, there was an executive summary of that senior service state plan that had been approved federally and by the state. And I'm sure that the executive director, who is here, could probably provide you with a complete copy, each one of you like it, that would outline what the agency is doing. But that just gives you a background and also a table of contents as to what's in that particular draft. The commission is responsible for now reporting to the department this plan each year as to what its responsibilities are, and the department is ultimately now responsible for these activities.
Mr. Obermeyer, is this bill, is it fair to categorize or characterize this bill as a response from the audit?
Yes, sir. It is a response from the audit. The audit found that the language of the statutes did not reflect what was going on after the transfer to the department. That in fact the department was now responsible for the report that comes out like this 2008 to 2011, but the work would be done by the commission. But they are reporting to the department with their report, and the department produces is responsible for the activities under that. And you'll note that throughout the bill, the word department is substituted for commission. It's one of the biggest points of the entire bill. And it was as a result of the audit that they did this, and I think it now recognizes what they're already doing. That's the reason they call this a cleanup bill, because they have been doing this for some time, and I think it can be explained by the executive director, but the statutes had not been brought up to date to reflect the change in responsibilities when it moved over to the department.
Okay, and then does this bill comply with the federal requirements on the Older Americans Act?
Yes, sir. In fact, there was a statement that was provided in the previous bill in 208 that indicated that there was an authorization by the federal government. let me see if I can find it here. That it's that this particular plan meets both federal guidelines, and it was signed off, as I believe, by the governor's office, and it's in your attachment on 243. The governor signed off, the commissioner of health and social services signed off, and we also have a document that was signed by the I believe it was an assistant secretary in the Department of Health and Social Services in the federal government. The reason that it's so important that the federal government sign off on this is that a good portion of the financial aspects of this is paid for by the federal government. On the fiscal note, you'll note that in that, even on 209, which is the only fiscal note, that about three-fourths of the bill is paid for by outside sourcing. It says other sources at the bottom of the fiscal note. And so the federal government wants to make sure that it reviews each plan before it authorizes release of money and grant processes.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Obermeyer, page 6, line 10. As I understood from your earlier testimony that the contracting for services to the client population, i.e. the seniors, will now be the responsibility of the department, not the commission. And I assume that lines or parent 6 here, line 10 on page 6, is just for the commission to contract for services for the commission. Is that correct?
For the commission to contract for services for the department?
No, for themselves. If they need to have some research done or printing done or something, this is for that, not for contracting for services to serve the senior population.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I'd have to defer to the executive director who's here to probably answer some specifics about their operation on that.
And we're going to bring her up next. Maybe we can, might as well bring her up now. If you could put your name and who you represent on the record, and then please respond to Senator Dyson's question.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Denise Daniello, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Commission on Aging. I want to thank you very much for consideration of both of our bills this morning. In relation to your question, Senator Dyson, through the chair, that is my understanding that that allows the Commission on Aging to contract for services for research related to older Alaskan issues. So, for example, we contracted along with the Department of Health and Social Services and the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority with the University of Alaska Institute of Social and Economic Research to produce this report, which you may have seen that we published last year. It's called the Report on the Economic Well-Being of Alaska Seniors. That basically outlines the economic status of Alaska seniors and the contribution older Alaskans make to our state's economy, which is $1.5 billion a year in 2005 dollars.
Thank you. We have any other questions for the director while we have her here? Okay. You have another question, Senator Dyson?
No, just I'd like the record to reflect that the commission has no authority under this law to commission to contract for services for seniors. They have authority to commission to contract for services for the mission and the execution of the duties of the commission. And also, I wished under the duties here that that it was clear in the law that one of the duties is to help equip seniors to not be dependent upon government and be utterly independent. And that's perhaps a discussion for another day. Thank you.
Okay. We have one. Do you have any other comments you'd like to make as a director?
I just wanted to testify in support of both of these bills, of course, for the continuation of the commission as well as our agreement with the statute modification. The number of Alaska seniors are growing. As Mr. Obermeyer pointed out, Alaska has almost a third of its population comprised of baby boomers. And so these are people who are born between 1946 and 1964. And hopefully these folks will remain in the state to continue to contribute both economically as well as socially to our state. Currently, we have almost 81,000 Alaska seniors. These are people 60 years of age and older. And again, they contribute significantly to the state in terms of their economic contribution, which would come from incomes from their retirements, Social Security, pensions, health care payments, and also paid employment. and secondly, through their non-cash contributions in terms of volunteer and caregiving, many, many thousands of hours contributed every year. I just wanted to point out that we believe that the Commission on Aging is helping people to lead independent lives. I wanted to point out that the Commission was established back in 1982, and our primary push has been to support home and community-based type services for people who need those types of services. I came to the state back in the 1970s, and at that time, the average age of a Pioneer Home resident was a person in their late 60s. Now it's 82. So, you know, people are entering nursing homes at a later age. That's very good for the state because, as you know, the cost of nursing home care is very expensive. And the longer that we can keep people healthy and able to live independently, even if that means providing a meal, you know, at a senior center or a home-delivered meal to a person's home who's homebound, or a bus trip to, you know, to visit the doctor's office, these services are helping people to stay in their homes, and it's also helping family caregivers as well to help their family members.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We have no one online? Okay. There's one other person that signed up, Joanne Gibbons.
Mm-hmm.
If you can come forward, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Excuse me. For the record, my name is Joanne Gibbons, and I'm a program manager with the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Senior and Disability Services. And so I'm just here to add the department's voice for its support of this bill and to testify to the fact that the current structure, the way it's been, the way it is in put forth in SB 243, and is the way things are currently working now. And it works very well. It's a collaborative relationship between the department and the commission. And we just wanted to lend our support and to thank the sponsor for their.
Okay, do we have any questions? Senator Hoffman, do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for Senate Bill 248-S with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual notes and attached fiscal notes, individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Do we have any objection to moving the bill? Okay, hearing no objection, we will move the bill from committee. We'll now move on to the next bill. Senate Bill 254, Regional Economic Assistance Program, and we'll hear from Senator Huggins is the primary sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let there be no doubt the brains behind this bill is sitting to my left, Ms. Jody Simpson.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Jody Simpson, and I am staffed Senator Huggins. Before you this morning is Senate Bill 254, an act extending the termination date of the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program and providing for an effective date. The ARDER program, as it is known, was established in 1988 and designated by the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. ARDERs have been authorized every 5 years since then, with the exception of the last renewal, which was for 3 years through July 2008. This bill is simple. It extends the termination date once again for 5 years from July 1, 2008 to July 1, 2013. Mr. Chairman, your bill packets contain quite a bit of information on the ARDERs, which stands for Alaska Regional Development Organizations. Several of you on the committee here have heard this bill before, but for those of you that haven't, by way of background, there are 11 ARDERs across the state, and these organizations serve at the state's contribution to economic development in Alaska's urban and rural areas. They do this by enabling local officials and businesses to pool their limited resources and work together on economic development projects. They do this by developing partnerships among public, private, and other organizations, and providing technical assistance via direct links with local citizens. As you read in the report I provided for you in your packets, our ARDRs are successful, and this past year they coordinated some 50 regional efforts, including updating comprehensive economic development strategies, or SEDs, across the state. Our ARDRs raised $1.178 million in private sector funds to leverage and met 84% of their identified collective goals. There are several people I'm hoping are online, although it is Saturday and some of them may not be available. I have Mr. Joe Osterman, who is the manager of the Economic Development Department. I believe perhaps Mr. Mike Katze, who is the executive director for SWAMC, the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, and perhaps Mr. Wayne Stevens, who is the president and CEO of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, online to answer your questions. Ms. Sally Sadler is also in the audience behind me, and she's the legislative liaison for the department.
All right, I have a list of people that call in.
Thank you. Lastly, Mr. Chairman, this five-year extension was requested and recommended by the ARDRs themselves. Extending the sunset from 5 to 5 years would allow them to do more long-range planning and meet their goals. With that, Mr. Chairman, I conclude my comments and thank you for hearing this bill this morning, and I'll try to answer any questions that you may have, committee members.
We have a fiscal note, one fiscal note for $650,000. It's an extension. Do we have questions for the bill sponsor from the committee? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. We heard earlier today that from the auditor that it is now becoming standard by some standard to extend all these organizations by 8 years instead of 3 or 5. Did you all consider that, and why did you decide on 5 years?
Through the chair to Senator Dyson, it's my understanding that it was extended most recently for 3 years. There was some concern apparently at the last minute on the Senate floor to reduce it from 5 years, which was the standard renewal period, to 3 years. But they've gone back to requesting the five-year period. I don't know whether they considered an eight-year extension.
Senator Hubbins.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's the difference between boards and commissions. I mean, this is not a board or commission, as I understand it. And what Pat was talking about was boards and commissions, the different category.
Thank you.
We have other questions for the bill sponsor initially. We see.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Sadler is indicating that there are two fiscal notes. So I draw your attention to one for ADA for a total of $13.1 million for this year, and one for DCCED.
I think it's thousands, not millions.
Oh, I'm sorry, thousands, pardon me.
Yeah, I misspoke. There's two notes with identical numerics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, in that respect, if you'll notice, there's a lot of non-governmental money that comes to play with these organizations around the state, which significantly leverages the capability of the 11 different organizations.
Has LBNA done any review of the activities of the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program that you're aware of?
Mr. Chairman, I didn't check into LBNA per se, but I did check with Ms. Davidson earlier this year about her department's review of their funding, and she indicated that they hadn't triggered an audit, and to her knowledge, in the last 10 years. Each of these organizations, as I understand it, is responsible for doing its own internal auditing, but there hasn't been alleged audit pulled on this organization, to her knowledge, for the last 10 years.
Okay, and then could you talk a little bit about the collaboration or lack of collaboration with the ARBOR program and other groups and entities around the state that are trying to improve the economic conditions?
With your permission, I defer to the folks online who are the executive directors. They'd be better able to tell you, excuse me, about how they relate with other organizations. For my own ARDR in the MATSU, I know that the MATSU Borough does fund a portion of their program, and they are very active in Senator Huggins' community.
Yeah, I don't think we have a real active calling bank right now.
Excuse me?
So we don't have a very active calling bank.
Oh.
You're referring to people that don't exist on my list.
So you have no one online, sir?
I've got two people online, yes. We're going to go to them in a minute.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Michael Hanzik is actually the coordinator for the program for art, and he may be able to give you a better overview of how those organizations relate among themselves and with other entities around the state, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And we'll bring, he's the first one on the list. We'll bring him up. Michael Hanzik?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Michael Hanzik. For the record, I work for the state of Alaska. I am the ARTR coordinator for the ARTRs.
Do you want to speak to the bill, or?
I'd be more than happy to answer whatever questions I may be able to answer as far as the bill goes. If you would you please repeat the question? I'm calling long distance from down in Arizona, and it's kind of cutting out a little bit here and there.
The question was on the collaboration or lack of collaboration that the ARTR program may or may not have with other groups involved in moving the local economies forward in Alaska. Can you talk about how the ARBOR relates to those?
As far as the collaboration for all the ARTRs, they all, because each ARTR is different in their own different region, I can only speak for the last year and a half that I've been the ARTR coordinator. For what I have seen from my perspective, the ARTR coordination and collaboration of other regions throughout Alaska in the 11 regions has been phenomenally, I would have to say there has been an awful lot of collaboration between the economic development organizations, even amongst themselves, with the 11 working together in various things and economic development ideas that may pertain to all of them. If you want to break it down for each region, my impression of what is going on for each region is they work with all their communities and all their entities and working together to come to a common, I would have to say, a common agreement of the direction that each one of the regions want to go.
Okay.
As far as negative collaboration, at this point in time, I'm not aware of any.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other questions for? Okay, we'll go to the next person on the list, Mike Katsi from the Southwest Alaska Municipal League.
Municipal Conference, Mr. Chair. This is Mike Katsi. I'm Executive Director for Swansea. I was going to speak, testify for the bill, but I'm actually happy to answer questions. I think that's probably more relevant at this point. And in reference to the last question, I'm looking at our membership page, and we have pretty close to about 100 members of Swansea, and they include municipal entities, regional native corporations, village corporations. We have native health associations. We also include private businesses, village councils. So we include a lot of other nonprofits as well. So we work with a wide range of entities across the region, and I believe all the other as well. I'm happy to answer any other questions you may have.
So you support the bill?
Very much so.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other questions? Senator Thomas.
Not necessarily a question, more of a comment, but somebody may want to respond to it. I see the ARTRs, at least I can only speak for the one in the interior in the Fairbanks area, as being a very good coordinator with the various, you have a lot of advocacy groups for various industries and different things like that, and I see them in the interior as a good coordinator of those kind of efforts, so I certainly support it and see them as a good addition to kind of bring some sense to some of the stuff that that takes place anyhow, so I appreciate it.
No further comments. Do we have a motion, Senator Hubbins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm moving.
Second.
Bill.
Okay, just hold it in that. Ms. Sadler, would you like to come forward?
Good
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Sally Sadler, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
Maybe you could explain the fiscal notes for us for the record, and then we'll move on to wrapping up the bill.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, what we're doing is taking $13,100 out of ADA receipts and transferring that through an interagency agreement, RSA, to the Division of Office of Economic Development. So what we're doing is taking, ADA has a commitment to keep the position in the department that supports ARDRs at 50%, and over time, that funding has eroded. So we've determined that it's that $13,000 that's needed to keep Mr. Hanzik's position at 50%. And then the balance goes to the ARDRs for grants for the work that they do to leverage the resources and make the collaborations happen at the local and regional level.
Okay, do we have any questions on the fiscal note? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that people are well aware of my position on this bill. I see it as something that's real positive because it does share information with the fisheries issue, and as well as the industry that's out there that is so important to us. And so with that, I'm certainly in favor of this bill and what ARDR does out in the region that I represent.
Okay. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to emphasize that it is, when you look at the economic development piece, it doesn't have any borders as far as rural and urban, and I think that's one of the beauties of it, that investment of time and effort by local organizations and some coordination of them is what ARDR is all about.
Okay. And do we have a motion, Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate Bill 254 be moved from committee with attached physical note and individual comments.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with the two attached physical notes and individual comments. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee.
Good day for shooting, huh? Good day for shooting.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I didn't go shooting. I was down on the lake right below you. We're going to take a brief at ease. Committee work today. I thank all committee members for being here on Saturday. We'll be a gathering at this table virtually every day from now until the end of this session.
For tomorrow.
We're not going tomorrow, not on Sundays, unless we have to at the very end. The next meeting is scheduled for Monday, March 17th at 9 a.m. We'll be taking public testimony on the operating budget. I'll see everybody here Monday at 9 a.m.